T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome, welcome. It is great to have you here. A beautiful day at the Coliseum. A lot prettier than either of these teams' sittings in the standings right now. A last-place Bay Bridge rivalry matchup takes place tonight here at the Coliseum, the finest venue in all of Major League Baseball. It is good to be with you. Damon Bruce coming to you. It is good to be back from vacation. Had a fun time down in Cabo, but honestly, you know, my official evaluation is this. Meh.
Yeah, I mean, it's very touristy. It's very Americanized. You're not getting, but it's a good place to, you know, sit by the pool, enjoy the beach, put your feet up.
It absolutely is. But I swear to God, you can get tacos just as good, if not better, a 3-minute walk off of a BART station here. It's like crummy California.
Yeah, that's too bad. You didn't have a ton of good food, though. I mean, I know you said some places were good, but overall.
It's crummy California. If you live in Minnesota, if you live in Iowa, going to Cabo is probably a great, unique, fun thing to do. If you live in the nicest part of California already, going to what is the least nice part of California, basically outside of Fresno, it's Fresno by the sea.
It's Fresno by the sea.
It really is. A's have made a move for Sonny Gray, trading him to the New York Yankees. It had to happen. Meanwhile, the Giants are making no moves. Cueto's not going anywhere. Samardzija's not going anywhere. Yes, Nunez went to the Red Sox, and he's already homered a couple times. Of course he has. I should have got more for him. That is what's going on, and we've also been told officially by the San Francisco Giants 34 and a half out that they can't provide us a player for a little interview ahead of the Bay Bridge series today. They're 34 and a half out. If they distracted any player before a game, they might be 35 out by the end of the night. What garbage is that?
Come on.
You're in dead last place, worst record in Major League Baseball, and you can't run us over a single player to say, hey, how are you? That is weak sauce. That is absolute weak sauce, San Francisco Giants. Come on. I mean, here's what we ask of them. Basically nothing.
Not much.
Basically nothing. We ask nothing of them. Bobby Evans is a good stand-up guy, might even be a better guy than a GM right now. But whenever we call him, he's there for us. But we can't get a single player off the 25-man roster. We can't talk a pitcher who's not pitching tonight can't make his way over to say, hey, how are you? That's lame. All day and all night long for a last place club 34 and a half out. Matt Cain, 3-9. He's starting tonight. So he's the only one I definitely knew wouldn't be here. But everybody else seems to be in the mix.
Yeah.
24 other guys. What a joke. Absolute joke. Let's move on to better and brighter things, shall we?
It's nice and bright out here right now.
The sun is very nice and
it
warm.
Is.
The
Beautiful.
Grass is very green. Again, the A's grounds crew is one of the best in the world. It looks like there's a new, even funkier, more glorious, holy Toledo site signed to honor Bill King, who was inducted into Cooperstown, along with the steroid commissioner and many a steroids or drug violator, the talking out of both sides of the mouth and the hypocrisy is enough to make me ask Jed York where the nearest available puke bucket might be. I'm sure he's tweeting about that.
He'll tell you.
Right now. Yeah, he really is. I thought we'd spend a little time talking about the Raiders here today, who had their rookie cleared by a grand jury who in Ohio has decided not to indict Garen Conley over rape allegations. The choice between indicting a guy on rape allegations or not is always a tough decision to make. It is a he said, she said. But apparently there is a lack of or enormous amount of evidence that this did not take place. And he is probably going to be on the field with the Raiders starting Was tomorrow a day off for them? I think tomorrow is a training camp day off for the Raiders. And then after that, they get back in pads. Like I said earlier, what we do not need from anybody is play-by-play from anyone's training camp. It's getting me close to unfollowing a few. I don't need training camp play-by-play when guys aren't in pads in the first week of workouts. Oh, Amari Cooper with a beautiful catch in the end zone against a cone. He had a cone guarding him, but oh, what a catch. Well, of course he had a nice catch. It's Amari Cooper. He's got Derek Carr throwing him the ball. Derek Carr, by the way, and we were talking about this earlier, the frustration that some A's fans are experiencing with yet another familiar, liked, family-friendly, Sonny Gray traded. You know, it seems like anyone who might even borderline on a household name is the next guy to be traded with the Oakland A's, and that has been a vicious cycle that has not repeated. And we had a guy call earlier and said, you know what, today is the day that I'm done with the A's. And I said, I understand that you're done with the A's, but tomorrow will come, and you will probably come with it. Just like today is being promised with the Raiders, but tomorrow is guaranteed to be in another town, thanks to the decision made by one Mark Davis. And I know that there's still some people who have a Save Oakland movement going on, and right, and they're that's their heart, not their head, thinking, look, it's as simple as this. When the owner doesn't want to be there, you got no shot. And there isn't a single drop of Mark Davis action that suggested he wanted to be here. Not a shred of evidence. He spent more time trying to work out a stadium solution with the San Antonio mayor than he did with the Oakland mayor. And so that's just no doubt about it. Let's talk about how awkward this might all get. Every single time Derek Carr goes to this podium, he's going to be asked about it, because everyone knows he's a stand-up guy who will give you an honest answer. And at training camp, Derek was asked about playing in Oakland, knowing that a brand new address in Las Vegas is more guaranteed than any Super Bowl has ever been.
There's no book on how to do this situation. No one's done it yet, you know. This is a weird deal, right? But we are so focused on what we're doing that it doesn't matter. We can talk about it and high, low, whatever you want to do. But at the end of the day, we have to show up and play football. So that is how we stay focused. Obviously, like I said, it's years down the road. My kids will be a lot bigger by then. I have a lot more things I want to do here first before we get to that.
This is the single best way to handle it. I'm telling you, if Derek Carr handles oncoming blitzes and disguise secondary coverages as well as he handles what is a loaded question as a press conference, boy, the Raiders offense is going to click.
Oh, yeah.
This guy is a franchise quarterback in every conceivable way. He never says anything wrong. He was asked about his new relationship with offensive coordinator Todd Downing.
We've done it about four or five times already, just in day one install, where he's like, okay, now if we get this look, and I finish his sentence, you want me to go to this? And he's like, yep. we were joking about it today. But, I think that is the part that's helping us grow. Whenever you have turnover every year, like some of my friends, man, they get new coordinators, right, every year. And that's tough, man, because you have to not only learn new terminology, but then you have to be the one, like a coach on the field, and it's your first time doing it. Well, this is not my first time in the offense. It's not my first time saying these plays. I don't lose as much sleep, the night before, making sure I say the play right for the first time. I can spit out the longest one that we have, and we can just go. But, that right there takes one bump out of each day, and if that helps us be a little bit more successful or get to the next step, then, that, I think that's why it's important.
I think for established players, that's what training camp is all about, making sure that everything is as smooth as possible from a communications and decision-making standpoint as it is right on the same level with the players being coordinated on field and in rhythm. You need decisions to be in rhythm. You need your quarterback to be in rhythm to have the freedom to change situations around the game. And that is basically what Todd Downing has allowed Derek Carr more freedom to do. You see a situation, you know it's the right move to check out of it, you check out of it, and you get into a better situation. And that, along with what everyone's hoping is a very good year from Marshawn Lynch, might be the missing ingredients to make this Raiders offense sing even better than it did last year. Obviously, the entire season is going to ride on the defense vastly improving, and we'll get into that in the coming days, weeks, and months leading up to the 2017 NFL season, which from a scheduling standpoint is as rough on the Raiders as it is any team in all the NFL. By the way, when it comes to A's frustration and great players and likable household names being traded, it's amazing Bob Melvin's still here. Bob Melvin has always overperformed. He is also fantastic with the media. And the congratulations came in for Bob Melvin when he reached a 1,000-win mark. First and foremost, from a guy who's not a bad Bay Area coach himself these days, Warrior head coach Steve Kerr.
Hey, Bob, congratulations on win number 1,000 in your managerial career. Pretty amazing accomplishment. Keep it rolling, keep having fun, and good luck the rest of the season.
Nice, concise, to the point, Steve Kerr.
Always good at that.
Always on point, just like Steph Curry mocking LeBron James in a wedding dance that made 12-year-olds on the internet giddy. The rest of us, I think, taken in stride is a little good-natured teasing. Oh, my God, what does this mean? He's mad about the Halloween cookies. No, he's not. Just Steph is not warm and fuzzy as you think he is. He is a ruthless killer. He's ruthless on the court. He's ruthless in the boardroom. Yeah, what does my team need? I think I'm going to go get Kevin Durant. What about that? I think my team could use that. That would make my day easier. That's ruthless, boys and girls. And someone said, what about Steph Curry makes him ruthless? Well, how about the fact that he's the greatest shooter in the sports history at any level? The fact that he single-handedly put Davidson on the map? The fact that he is part of one of the most significant culture changes in all of sports history? And that he and his teammates, behind his leadership and two MVP campaigns, jumped to the front of the greatness line, not just in current NBA form, but in all-time NBA form. Already at the dawn of their dynasty, the Warriors are being ranked amongst the best that have ever done it. And all they're going to do is rattle off, barring injury, the next 4 to 6 NBA titles. So, like, that's coming too. It's amazing that people still want to deny the obvious. It's like someone tweeting, you know, the sun's really hot. And someone basically, no, the sun's not that hot.
Yeah, let's argue that
one. The sun's not that hot. I mean, all it does is light and heat the earth. But when you really think about it, there are stovetops that are just as hot as the sun in relativity. You know, relatively speaking, either way you get burned, what's the difference? You're like, oh, you're an absolute moron. Block, delete, let's not talk again. That's kind of the way it goes. It really does. How are you, buddy? It's good to see you, too. Thank you very much. Vince Catronio just popping on over for a quick hello.
Why not?
Nice to see you, Vince. By the way, Steve Kerr, not the only guy who knew how to get it done around these parts, congratulating Bob Melvin. The man who cast the biggest shadow still to this day in the Bay Area is Jim Harbaugh. And when he came to the game, he came with a glove. He's a fan. Here's Harbaugh on Bob Melvin.
Congratulations to the entire athletics organization on getting Bob Melvin his 1,000th career win. Great coach, great friend. Good luck the rest of the way. Bo Mel!
I can't believe he didn't leave. He left a go blue out of that. By the way, did he say organization?
He did.
Since when did Jim Harbaugh join the NHL and play defense for hockey? I cannot believe that all of a sudden, that close to the Canadian border in Michigan, he has become Canadian.
Organization.
It is an organization. Thank you very much, Jim Harbaugh.
Bo Mel!
Thank you. Thank you very much. By the way, speaking of organizations, you know, we're used to great competition from the Giants and the A's, even though their players turn over. Just looking at this, the Giants, who are now 40-66 following a Phillies win today, they've got the worst record in all of baseball. No players available for interview.
None.
Worst record in baseball, no time to talk to anybody. Thank you very much. They are 34 and a half games back of the Dodgers. That's the furthest they've been out of first place since the last day of the 1946 season. Meanwhile, the A's are 46-59, have just traded their best pitcher. So welcome to the most suspect Bay Bridge series of all time, where the two teams are a combined 57 games out of first place. But hey, food trucks.
Food trucks. And a DJ battle out in the concourse.
A DJ battle?
Yeah, there's like a DJ battle tonight in right in the front up at the top there. That'll be fun.
I can't think of a sport that more defines DJ battle than the slow warming grandfather clock that is Major League Baseball. A DJ battle?
Yeah, I cannot wait. So. I know, it actually sounds like it'll be really fun. I think there's a DJ battle tonight.
Did the A's?
So you get some good music and the food trucks. Plus, come inside and enjoy some baseball.
Like,
that's a good night.
Did the A's decide to just win this decisively and decide to go with Too Short?
I don't know.
Or DJ Quick? Something like that? I mean, come on. That's okay. So enjoy your DJ battle, everyone. Right in front of your Bay Bridge World Series 57 combined out of first place. By the way, that number is going to get bigger thanks to the fact that Yu Darvish was added today by the Doyers, who are playing like you might beat the Seattle Mariners 116 regular season win record pace of Major League Baseball right now. As a matter of fact, they just swept the Giants, which has led to no player interview availability, Gianna, in case I didn't bring that up already. I wanted to
None.
Let you know about that. No one could possibly take time out of their very important last place schedule to talk a little bit about what might be going on. Couldn't happen. Can't think about it. Forget it. Don't even worry about it. All right. Thank you. We will talk with our good friend Bruce Jenkins about that at the bottom of the hour. I can promise you all of that. I don't know if you heard this story today, but since trade deadline day gets held up by some contract negotiations, we're always looking for interesting wrinkles that they build in for guys, bonuses, if you will, if you reach certain performance milestones, you have no trade clauses, and really interesting contracts, and the more superstar you are, the more interesting clauses you might find in your contract. For example, when Alex Rodriguez re-upped with the New York Yankees, he was allowed, like, I think, five private trips, plane trips a year on the Yankees charter flight.
Wow.
Anywhere he wanted to go, as if he couldn't charter a flight right. himself, you know.
Can't afford that, but
he was allowed a suite at any home or away game. You know, when you're a real big deal, you can go ahead and tailor-make
sure.
some unbelievable clauses in your contract. This might be the single biggest clause I've ever seen. And you know me, no big fan of soccer. And they don't do trades in soccer. They do transfers. A player transfers from one to another. So Neymar of Barcelona, to move to, I guess he just moved to a team in London. The $90 million transfer includes coffees for his dad, along with an orgy.
What?
His dad has an orgy clause in the Neymar contract. That's how they got the deal done. They worked in an orgy, not for Neymar, who doesn't, you know, probably
but his father
probably need to have that contractually arranged. He can just do it. He had an orgy arranged for his father at a hotel in Piccadilly, London, because his dad said that that 90 million euro deal for my son and free coffees for life is not enough. I'm going to need an orgy, too.
That's a little much.
Who is his representative? Is it Peter Baelish? Is it Littlefinger putting this all together?
Right.
That's very impressive. I got to tell you, you know, Lonzo Ball replaces a female referee in an AAU game, and the entire American media goes nuts once again, talking about unfair and disrespect and stay in your lane. Could you imagine if there were an orgy clause worked into any North American sports contract?
That's a little crazy. That's a little much, don't you think?
an orgy for dad.
for dad.
That's what's absolutely the most. I guess I'm so jaded that the orgy doesn't even shock me. It's the orgy for dad.
I'm kind of shocked by all of it.
That is a real story. I am not making that up. That actually happened.
But don't forget the coffee, more importantly.
Don't forget the coffee. Hey, you know what? It's Europe. It's a little bit different. Oh, speaking of Europe, Elena, if you could at any point in time before we go to break here, if you could cue up our Tour de France theme, because it is time for us to officially announce the winner.
Oh, yay.
It is over and done with. Just give me there it is.
There it is. Okay.
The 104th Tour de France has been won
by
Chris Froome from Fromage.
No, you don't say.
He looked like he was going to control the entire race the whole way through. He took a gamble in the mountain stages right in the Pyrenees, which brought his competition closer to him. And everyone was saying if he doesn't win the Tour, it will be because of this miscalculation. He's calculated correctly. I don't know if he stopped for orgies.
Or coffee.
Or coffee. Or to trade Sonny Gray. Or to watch John Jones.
Can we get him on the show?
Find victory in the UFC. Chris Froome is your 104th Tour de France overall yellow jersey winner. Congratulations to him and the entire Froome Fromage Froome family.
I did not expect that, Damon.
Well, we've been telling you for 2 weeks he was going to win it.
Totally kidding. Hashtag sarcasm.
By the way, a couple other things that happened when I was out on a little vacation in, I'm going to call it Mabo.
Not Mexico. It's Mexico.
It's not. No, it's not Cabo. Yeah, I could say it was Mexico. But I don't want to do that to the whole country because I didn't go to the whole country vacation.
Yep.
I went to Mabo. Meh. Well, it was okay. It was okay time.
It was just, again, it was a relaxing vacation. That was the point. This was not, you know, go check out the Mayan ruins and things like that. This was put your feet up, dip your toes in the sand a little bit, and chill out. So
Here's
you accomplished
thing.
That.
The water's so rough down there, you're not even allowed to dip your toes in the sand
the
a little
pool.
Bit. You have to stay at the pool the whole time. By the way, I will say this, always working on behalf of the show, even when I'm on vacation, I'm booking guests for you, Albie. Just so happens that when I was in Cabo, from Fox Sports 1, a gentleman who's been a guest on this show many times, Chris Broussard, was staying at the exact same hotel.
What are the chances?
With his family.
Wow.
Beautiful wife and three, like, drop-dead knockout daughters who were super friendly and smart as whips.
That's cool.
They go to Maryland, Penn, and Michigan, respectively.
Wow.
I walked away with my wife. Jillian's like, I want daughters like that someday. I was like, I do too. They were phenomenal. Beautiful, intelligent, friendly, personable girls. They were great. Chris Broussard has done a real nice job for himself and for his family. The only thing I can tell you for sure about Chris Broussard, because I did not want to bother him very much. Of course, we spoke several times, but never about the NBA. Your family, how are you, the move to the West Coast, how's that going, leaving ESPN for Fox, so on and so forth. Just asking him about the logistics of his life. Didn't want to get into any NBA talks. He had just finished covering the year, like us. Had just finished covering Summer League. He's off the clock. We don't want to talk sports to each other. We want to talk about families and whatnot. And Chris couldn't have been nicer. The only thing I know about Chris is this. We have the exact same eating schedule. We both showed up. We both showed up at the restaurants around the property right around the same time for breakfast and right around the same time for dinner. 4 of the 5 days that I was there.
Yeah, that's interesting.
It was like we couldn't help but run into each other. It was like I had planned it or he had planned it or there was a stalking thing going on from one way to the other. And the other thing that I can tell you about Chris Broussard is that since he is, you know, a very recognizable guy, since he's all over TV and has been for years, guy's got 1.5 million Twitter followers. You had dudes rolling up to him poolside as he's in a lawn chair, relaxing with his family. Not just like, hey, Chris, I'm a big fan. Can I ask you one question about the Knicks? But trying to engage
really
in way too long, way too close for comfort conversations on a man's vacation. Like, no social graces, not getting the hint.
That's too bad.
That happened all vacation long to a guy who couldn't have been more gracious to every single person who was like, hey, man, I know you're on vacation, but I'd like to talk to you about your work all day and night long. Is that cool? He was cool with everybody. And now, you know, we're BFF.
Well, good.
Whenever,
glad to hear that happened.
Whenever Broussard is in town, we're going to make sure that we have him on. And he's going to be in town a lot, covering the Warriors, Steph Curry's ruthlessness. Oh, and the fact that the whole band is back together while I was in Cabo.
Yep.
Hashtag JaVale Nation. No one's going anywhere. That team brought it all back and added Omri Caspi and Nick Young. That's unbelievable. So is the entire career and sports opinions of one Bruce Jenkins, who comes up right around the corner on 95.7 The Game.
My flow drop like an earthquake.
The Oakland A's take.
I'll tell you what, we have an earthquake.
It's a ground ball to the right side. Speared by Phillips. Flips Eckersley. Yes. He's there in time, and the A's are the world champion.
If McGuire can get off to a good start, put up a number, it's going to put a lot of pressure on Bond. That'll do it.
How about the managers just let Zito and Hudson face each other? How much fun would that be?
So let's listen to what's going to be a terrific ovation for one Barry Zito. So here's the Barry Zito curtain call, nicely done, and in between innings.
So the old warrior walks off the field for the last time here in Oakland in a ballpark where he had a great career. He was 46-15 in this ballpark. And one final time, a standing ovation for a much-respected career.
In the Bay Bridge series, certainly nothing more memorable than the Battle of the Bay, which was, of course, when these two teams met in the World Series. Nowhere near that this year. Both teams coming in respectively dead last in their own divisions. And for the Giants, it has just been a spectacular collapse from All-Star break to All-Star break. And yet they stand pat at the deadline beyond the Nunez move. Cueto, Samardzija were not moved. Belt, who we didn't think was going to get moved, wasn't. Panic, no surprise, wasn't moved. Sonny Gray, who was scheduled to start tonight, was. And that's where we begin with the San Francisco Chronicle's grand sage himself, Bruce Jenkins. Sonny sent to the Big Apple, Bruce. The more things change, the more things stay around here. How are you, buddy?
I'm good. Yeah, that's awfully true. I mean, you know, I heard a couple of phone calls, you know, people are outraged, I'm done with the A's. I mean, there's nothing new. I mean, this trade's been coming for a year. I mean,
right.
Since last year when it looked like, you know, he was losing a little something, injuries, it's like, well, this is a guy who's going to be a candidate to be traded if he gets it back together, which he did, and he got traded, and that's how they operate.
Darvish to the Dodgers is without a doubt the move of the day, and it didn't look like L.A. was going to do anything. It didn't really seem like L.A. had to do anything with the pace that they're setting right now. They've been remarkable, without a doubt, the most fun, magically riddled team in all of Major League Baseball right now. But along with adding two lefty relievers, Yu Darvish to complement a playoff rotation, which will be anchored, of course, by Kershaw. Does that feel a little bit like checkmate to you, Bruce?
Well, I think they've got the division wrapped up. I don't think the Giants are going to catch them, although you never know. but, I mean, what this says to me is, you know, first of all, they haven't been to the World Series since 1988, so they can talk all they want about we're protecting our prospects and we've got our own way of doing things, but in the meantime, no World Series. You know, how great are you if you don't get there? They're a good bet to get there now, but what this deal does, if I'm a Dodger fan, is let's say the playoffs open and then Kershaw loses the first game. And this is now before the Darvish deal. It's all of a sudden like, whoa, we're in a little
right.
bit of trouble here. You know, maybe Rich Hill's got a blister or who knows? You know, are they going to Kente Maeda or Alex Wood? You know, these guys are not world beaters. And all of a sudden a little bit of panic sets in. If you come back with Darvish, you get things set straight right away. And, of course, that, you know, it also gives them, if Kershaw wins that game, it gives them a pretty good chance to just go ahead and, like, sweep that series. And it's a great deal for them. I think it's a strong move. I mean, it's not absolutely necessary, certainly not, like, right now. But in the playoffs, I think it'll be vital.
Bruce, do you think that the Giants not moving Cueto or Samardzija is a surprise to you? I mean, if they're standing pat with what they've got, they must be looking at this like they feel pretty good going into 2018, which is odd considering they're 34 and a half back of a division that has gotten markedly stronger around them.
Yeah, I mean, it's no surprise that Cueto wasn't dealt right now because he's had blister problems and he's not even on the – he's pitching in San Jose, I think, you know, his next start. So, I mean, he's not something you're going to want for a rental because he's probably not going to help you that much. But I hope they both stick around. I really do. Maybe it sounds crazy, but I think if they come back with Samardzija, Cueto, Matt Moore, Bumgarner, and maybe Beattie, or who knows, maybe Kyle Crick, who's looked pretty good, you know, I mean – I think they've got a chance to have a really good rotation. I really do. Now, that does not
I'm sorry. I almost reintroduced you, my friend. Continue.
Oh, did you lose me there for a minute?
No. I stepped on your sentence like a rookie broadcaster, and I apologize.
I'm cleaning it off my shoe right now. No. no, it's I like Samardzija, and I like Cueto. You know, when those guys are on, they're tremendous. I think they have a chance. They have a real decent rotation. That's kind of what they're all about. They've got a monumental problem improving the offense, though. I mean, they didn't make any trades right now because they're stuck. Nobody wants to take on the contracts of these guys who are signed through 2021. It just doesn't make any sense, especially, you know, if they don't have any value. They're hitting 230 or whatever. You're not going to get back what you should. I'm talking mostly about a guy like Belt. So that's not a surprise. You know, they're going to have to bank on a lot of comeback years. But to me, the rotation and possibly even the bullpen with the way Dyson has looked and Melanson coming back, and if Will Smith comes back, I think the pitching will be pretty good. And, you know, if you're the Giants in that ballpark, that's got to happen.
Bruce Jenkins of the San Francisco Chronicle here on 95.7 The Game. I know you're not in the prediction business, Bruce, but would you care to make a Pablo call-up prediction? Do you think he'll come and prove himself to be a valuable Giant again, or do you feel like this is the final insult in an otherwise disastrous year?
Well, he looks pretty good. He's dropped a fair amount of weight. He's worked hard to do that, which is a good sign, because that way you don't just like look at him and go, oh, for heaven's sake, for, you know, that you don't throw up your hands just at the sight of him. So that's good, but you know the bar is set so low. I mean, who's he up against? Ryder Jones, you know, Wong, Gillespie. I mean, he doesn't have to, until Arroyo comes back, he doesn't have to be the old Pablo. And he could still play third base through the end of this year. Now, and I would expect him to do a few things and play a considerable amount of time in September, and maybe even give him a moment or two. But in terms of next year, I just don't think you can. You could even think about counting on this guy. I think you really have to bank on Arroyo taking that job, you know, and we will see how that happens. But, overall, I'm pretty skeptical about Sandoval. But right now, the standards are pretty low.
Bruce, instead of asking you about Hall of Fame induction weekend, which saw the steroid commissioner and clear steroid-driven player statistics get enshrined ahead of Barry Bonds, which is all ridiculous, Roger Clemens as well, I want to ask you a nice, warm, fuzzy Hall of Fame question. Since you're the perfect guy with all of the experience around here, would you please surmise for those who weren't around just exactly how important Holy Toledo, our good friend Bill King, was to the Bay Area?
Well, I mean, there's no one really to compare to him, and I'm talking about, you know, in history, like anywhere, because, you know, the Cooperstown thing is well and good, but, I don't think he wasn't a Vince Scully or an Ernie Harwell. What he was a master at and everything was following the action, but he's the best football announcer on radio, just bar none, ever. He was astoundingly good with the Raiders, and, you know, NFL Films wisely used Bill King's calls for all those great Kenny Stabler, Biletnikoff, Ted Hendricks clips. And I'm from L.A. and grew up with Chick Hearn, but I put him on a par with Chick Hearn as the greatest basketball announcers of all time. His method of following the action in basketball, which is extremely hard to do, especially if you want to make it sound interesting and throw in some opinions, was just staggeringly good. Those are the two halls that he goes in first for me. But the bottom line is, whatever season it was, you had the pleasure of listening to Bill King in the Bay Area, and it's just an incomparable talent, and it's a shame he's not around to enjoy this.
Not only could it not happen again, I don't think teams involved would allow it to happen again because everybody looks for their signature voice and does not want to share the greatness.
No, that's true. You know, around here, I mean, you know, the Warriors weren't very good. The A's were up and down. The Raiders were very good. But, you know, that's absolutely. I mean, if you got a guy like Bill King and all of a sudden he's off doing something else, and he balanced it really well. I don't think it ever was a tremendous issue. I can't even remember who would sub for him when he had a conflict, but he just he was a madman, absolute genius madman.
Bruce, with the Bay Bridge series not exactly living up to its billing in present tense, I'm sure everyone will be looking at these two teams and reminding themselves of the iconic 89 Earthquake series. Where were you that day, and tell us about how it all played out for you.
I was in the upper deck. I was up there with a buddy of mine, Lyle Spencer, who I went to high school with. We both have been sports writers ever since. And we're going, you know, we're rocking back and forth in a massive way. The first thing I remember is hearing the sound of it rumbling toward us. It's like, what the hell? And then, of course, you know immediately what it is. But and then when it stopped, we looked at each other like, holy, you know, just, oh, my God, it was so heavy. And you take a moment to ponder, okay, the ballpark is still here. You know, Candlestick made it, and like a big round of applause went up. And then once that died down, and, you know, the rest of the Bay Area was not okay. And we start finding out what happened in the Marina and the Nimitz. You know, it gets darker and darker. And the sun went down, and it got really dark, you know, places where there was no power. I was living out of town at that time, and I was staying at the St. Francis Hotel. And I remember, the first thing I did was jump in a car with Tom Boswell and Ken Rosenthal, two of the greats, to go to the Chronicle where we all filed our stories by candlelight. And then getting back to the hotel after this long, agonizing night, you know, there was no power, no lights, no nothing. The city was just a blank. I remember just bending down and hoping for like one drop to come out of the faucet that I could put on my head or, you know, it for a taste. I got like two drops, and that was like heaven, you know. It was just crazy. And then, you know, because I was staying at the St. Francis, I was right on the spot for the Fay Vincent press conferences, which happened there, like on a different floor. And, you know, I wound up actually going down to Scottsdale when the A's decided to leave town and train. And in Scottsdale, I wrote a column from the bar at the Pink Pony. I had my machine set up on the bar there, and, you know, I was there a lot then. They knew who I was, and they're pouring me drinks, and I'm writing all hammered and writing a column. I made the most of it, I guess.
Probably not the first baseball writer to pen a column from the bar of the Pink Pony. Bruce Jenkins, I'm sure it was the best one ever written, though. Thank you very much. Always good to talk to you. In a time where social media didn't exist and news traveled so slow, what a crazy, crazy time that was. Thank you for sharing the memories, Bruce, and as always, a real pleasure.
As always, thanks, Damon.
Thank you very much, Bruce Jenkins, here on 95.7 The Game. Always, always a pleasure to hear from him. How about hearing from Kyle Shanahan on what he's looking at down at Niner Camp? That is coming up next on 95.7 The Game. Great to have you here. We are out not too far away from the third base coach's box, not too far away from the A's dugout either. It's right over my right shoulder. We're down the third baseline at the Coliseum getting ready for game one of the Bay Bridge series, which begins tonight here in Oakland, is here tomorrow night, and so are we, Gianna.
Yes,
we'll be back here tomorrow. And then the series shifts to San Francisco, as is the cause. I tell you, one of the things that hurts the Bay Bridge series isn't just the fact that these teams are a combined 57 games out of first place.
There's that.
But there's also the fact that we've now done it every single year. To me, all the appeal of interleague play has lost its majesty, lost its what made it unique. You know, what really was enjoyable about interleague play is how rare it was.
Right.
And now it is so common that you literally have it happening somewhere in baseball every single day. And, you know, the local rivalry might be something that you would always keep alive. You know, it'd be cool if the Cubs and White Sox played every year. It'd be cool if the Astros and Rangers, now that one's in the National League and one's in the American League, if they played every year, Pirates and Phillies, so on.
Sure.
And so, well, they're both National League teams, pardon
true,
me.
True.
But, you know, Giants and A's is a local rivalry that's cool to see. But just seeing it all the time and having interleague always around takes a little bit of the glimmer off this. And so what made it special was its rarity, and now it's not very rare at all. What is rare is to see Klay Thompson here at the Coliseum and not at Oracle Arena. But if you are coming out tonight, you will see Klay Thompson. He is starting for the Oakland A's this evening.
Well, kind of.
Klay is going to be out there. He's going to be throwing the first pitch for the Oakland A's tonight.
The ceremonial
first pitch.
To get
this bad boy underway. Sonny Gray, of course, three prospects, two of them dealing with serious injuries, which Billy Bean has asserted to Susan Slusser will be fixed by the time next year starts. So we will see about all of that as it happens, when it happens.
Yankees odds better, too, in Vegas now with Sonny Gray.
That'll happen.
Yep.
That'll happen. I bet the A's are officially off the board now.
I think
that happened today.
I think it's a bit of a long shot, but you know, you never know. We have to do the math.
Holy Toledo.
Yeah.
If you don't mind me saying. Want to switch gears because not only do we have our good friend John Dickinson with his boots on the ground right here at Oakland. He was down covering the 49er training camp, and we will get a firsthand account of what he saw, what he heard, what he smelled. Hopefully it wasn't from the puke bucket.
God.
Today from JD in just a little bit. Right now, though, we got Kyle Shanahan, who was at the podium this morning, talking about what fans can expect from him this season. Kyle Shanahan spoke about his leadership style and what you can expect this year.
I just try to be myself, try to be prepared, and I feel as when you try to be a leader, you try to help people get better. And if I've always felt no matter how old you are or what type of coach you are, if you can help a player get better, then they'll listen to you. So that's kind of been my deal my whole life, and I just try to be honest with them. The guys that I like are guys that I kind of know what I'm getting. They're not too high. They're not too low. I know what's going to show up every single day. You know, when you go through adversity in this league, you know, sometimes you don't know who your leaders are until you go through that. And that's what I always say. You don't really know who someone is until you see how they handle that. And the guy who's the same in adversity as he is when everyone's praising him, usually that's the type of guy that I'd like to follow.
And, you know, Kyle Shanahan, pretty good answer. Pretty matter of fact. I like that right there. We'll see if Brian Hoyer can turn into the kind of quarterback that doesn't have people talking about adding Kirk Cousins by week three. Let's see what happens there. I can tell you right now, Brian Hoyer was the best of quarterback play seen in Chicago for a long time, and I think under the right circumstances could actually outperform expectations. I don't think they're close to a six-win football team, but we'll take a look at that defensive line, which has been stocked with first-round talent without having it really produced for it yet. Maybe this is the year all of that starts to break loose for the Niners. Shanahan didn't talk about his quarterback today, but he did talk about running back Carlos Hyde.
I think it's been easy to see, you know, not just for the coaches, I think his teammates also. You know, he started making a move just his work ethic and just his attention to detail about halfway through OTAs, which we were real excited about when we broke and left camp earlier on in the offseason. And then coming back 5 weeks later and be able to see him, I mean, he's even taken it to another level. I can tell he's put in the work, and it's given himself a chance to have a good season.
Hopefully he truly is the Shanahaniest of all Shanahans. That would be great. You know, he talks about open competition on offense. He says he didn't hire an offensive coordinator. That's his job. That's what he'll be doing. He will assume the role of running the offense. Matt Maiocco says that he is going to attempt to remake the 49ers offense to his specifications, which are obviously going to include Kyle Juszczyk, who was signed as the highest priced fullback in the NFL in a league where fullbacks have definitely fallen out of style. Juszczyk could be a big option for the 49ers, not only as a safety valve, but as possibly a guy who runs with a football, not just blocking for Carlos Hyde a little bit of well. It's still the worst receiving crop in all of football, even with the additions of Pierre Garçon and Marquise Goodwin, like I said, until further notice. It is until it isn't. Somebody asked me if I was going to rip the Oakland A's for earlier this afternoon tweeting that Sonny Gray was pitching tonight.
Right.
Look, he was the scheduled starter. And, you know, everything goes according to plan until the plan changes. Everything is business as usual until it's not. And they probably also scheduled that thing yesterday and didn't think to pull it back. But, you know, look, saying that Sonny Gray is going to pitch at the Coliseum before he's traded is not an inaccurate statement.
Nope,
he
at the time.
He was. Just now he is on his way. And like we told you, Clay Thompson will be pitching for the A's tonight. You can enjoy a little Clay Thompson. I bet that ends up – look at it this way. I bet that winds up on the gram. I bet Clay puts that out on the gram tonight. There's
Definitely.
No doubt about it. Probably not going to go out and do the mock LeBron dance that we all saw Steph Curry light the Twitter world on fire with. And as I said earlier, I know asking Twitter to be a little bit more mature about a subject is, you know, like asking a fish to stop swimming for just a minute so you can
Good luck
ask
with
it
that.
A few questions. It's not going to happen, but really, it is not the big controversial thing that so many made it out to be. The fact that Kyrie Irving was seen smiling and dancing along in the same week that he requested a trade is not even that much insulting to LeBron either, although people would tell you it would. You know what guys do when they're having fun? They have fun. I'll tell you who is most to blame. Who is allowed to film that? Who filmed that and put it out
and
on social media?
Put it out there.
Let me tell you, if I were a superstar getting down on the dance floor, I would make sure that phones around me were sequestered. This wedding has a professional photographer, and buddy, you ain't it. Stop filming me.
Yeah, I mean, they could.
Gotta be discreet. Does anyone know discretion anymore? Does anyone know how to be discreet anymore? Or just, oh, my God, put it on the gram, put it on Twitter, put it on Facebook, and watch the world burn and get clicks, get clicks, get clicks. Hey, speaking of getting clicks, you know what I clicked on today?
What's that?
Athletic SF and subscribed
you did.
To Tim Kawakami's okay. website because I like Tim's writing and I like Marcus's writing, and I figure if I'm a season ticket holder, you got to still come on my show. How many actual Bay Area hosts are going to sign up for it? I'm guessing the total count is, I'm going to set the over-under at 2.5.
2.5,
and
okay.
I think I'm going to take the under, knowing that I'm one of them. So
right.
That means just two others. Will two other Bay Area radio hosts sign up? I still believe you got to pay for good journalism sometimes. So two guys that I like and I trust, Tim Kawakami, Marcus Thompson. We'll give it a year. Let's see what they got. I tweeted them the very best of luck and requested that they not screw it up.
That's very cool of you.
Well, I'm a very
cool guy.
You're
investing in good sports journalism.
I'm trying to, because if I have to keep going on Twitter or social media for my sports news, I might have to rip my eyeballs out with a rusty spoon. Our good friend John Dickinson was down with the Niners all day, and boom, like that, like a miracle, he is here in foul territory with us. We're going to talk to him next on 95.7 The Game. As the sun moves across the Bay Area sky, we find ourselves in shade for the first time this afternoon.
Nice.
And Mike Kerpichka has removed
our little umbrella.
The tiny little don't get your sunshine on me umbrella, which means you didn't get too burnt today.
I'm good.
I think I'm good. Albie, red is just crisp. No, you look okay.
You're okay. We had some SPF going. We're good.
You survived the day. A little bit of a farmer's tan. And, of course, we are out here at the Coliseum where tonight we get game one of the Bay Bridge series, Matt Cain against Clay Thompson. That's the joke for now. You can figure it all out tonight. It's actually going to be Paul Blackburn.
Yes.
But, of course, Sonny Gray was slated to be your starter today, traded to the New York Yankees for three prospects. I'm sure a lot of that coming up on the A's Dugout Show with Chris Townsend here just in a matter of moments. Other Bay Area news that you absolutely have to pay attention to, the Dodgers signing Yu Darvish. That is a baller move for a team that is playing the best baseball in the National League with the best record in all of baseball. They got a little bit better, no doubt about it, with Yu Darvish joining them. Garrison Conley, the Raiders' first-round pick, he has been let go by the grand jury that was reviewing the rape case against him. No allegations will be brought to court.
It's been cleared.
That is a clearing that I'm sure he and the Raiders were both looking forward to. So he's in camp, and of course we know that Solomon Torres is in camp with the 49. Solomon, see, I keep on saying Solomon Torres. I'm sitting here in front of the Bay Bridge series, and I had a stroke, so excuse me. Solomon Thomas is now in the mix, of course, down at Niner training camp. Thanks for correcting me. I do appreciate it. We want to get things right here on the program. Holy Toledo. John Dickinson, good enough to join us here in foul territory after spending the entire day down in Santa Clara. JD, how are you, man?
It's great to be with you guys. And you know, of all the places we've had the opportunity to do this, this is one of my favorites.
It's
not bad.
Beautiful weather, nice evening.
Look, you can be down on both teams coming into this series. You can be down on Bay Area baseball. You can be down on trades. What you can't be down on is a nice day for ball.
No, you can't. And you can't take me away from the Bay Bridge series.
There you
ever.
Go. The man is committed to his craft, or what it was. Yeah. What are you committed
even
to?
Even if I'm covering football, I'm committed to training camp right now.
He should be committed. He's John Dickinson joining us here live on the field. Let's talk a little bit about Niner camp and what you saw today. And let's, of course, we just heard from Kyle Shanahan, who we all hope is the Shanahaniest of all the Shanahans. Hoyer, let's talk a little bit about his quarterback. I know there's a little bit about some improvement from the backup position, but really this is going to be his team, and if he plays his card right early on, it's going to be his all year long. If he falters early, the talk about Kirk Cousins is going to get louder by the loss.
Yeah, and he looks competent and really confident, I think, more than anything. Brian Hoyer looks the part, like he believes he's a starting quarterback that knows Kyle Shanahan's system. I think that's the biggest takeaway. He can throw the ball at all levels. They throw it to the backs. He can throw the intermediate stuff. They hit a couple of deep balls today on a day that Kyle Shanahan called the most balanced day in terms of offense making plays and defense making plays in the 11-on-11 periods. I think overall the defense has had the edge, and I know we'll get into that, but Hoyer, it hasn't really been because Hoyer has looked bad, which is a good sign. You want to see your defensive guys making plays, but it's funny in training camp, if one side's making plays and it's against the first team, well, that makes you start to wonder a little bit about your first team on the other end. So Hoyer hasn't really been the guy making a lot of mistakes, though the defense, I think, has had the edge early on in camp. Though Hoyer looks the part of a guy that can do a lot of different things and operate this offense functionally.
A guy who isn't getting first-team reps is Reuben Foster, but he stood out just a little bit. First of all, was today in pads, both sessions?
Today was in pads. They've gone 4 days now. They're actually already up to their first off day, which will be tomorrow.
Yeah.
They went without pads Friday, Saturday, and then yesterday and today they went with pads. They get tomorrow off, and then they kind of start that rotation up again. But, yeah, Reuben Foster, 3 interceptions in the last 4 days, though he's been on the third team. He's been playing the backups. He's picked off Nick Mullins, who at this point is the fourth-string quarterback.
Camp arm.
A couple of times. So it's not like he's picking Brian Hoyer, but he oozes talent.
Good.
You can see talent. And Kyle Shanahan mentioned,
and he had a shoulder issue, too. So if he's getting his arms up
there,
that means maybe that's a little further in the past than
we hope. He just has a nose for the ball. He really does. And the ball seems to find him, which is a good thing, obviously, for a linebacker and a guy whose future in the league, maybe not this year, but his future is probably going to be a Mike linebacker.
We were talking about the lack of depth and talent, even with the Garcon signing. And look, we know it's going to be a challenged offensive passing game year for the 49ers. And you mentioned that if we're talking about thin position groups, we might as well involve the safeties right now.
Yeah, they're in a little trouble. Jaquaski Tartt, he left practice today with what looked like a rib injury. And that's already with Jimmy Ward, who's going to be the starting free safety. He's already out for a couple of weeks with a hamstring injury. And Eric Reed's day-to-day as well. He Eric Reed with an ankle injury. He didn't practice today, though. He was out on the field, you know, kind of yucking it up and cheering on his teammates. Not a minor thing for Reed, but they're down three safeties at this particular point in time with Jimmy Ward, who's, you know, if you're going to play that Seattle 4-3 single high, I mean, Jimmy Ward's a really important player moving to that safety position. And he hasn't been able to be out there and won't be able to be out there. They're hopeful he'll be back in about, let's say, 2 weeks, right around the time where they face the Denver Broncos. They're actually going to have a scrimmage, one of those head-to-head scrimmage deals at Levi's with the Broncos and the Niners, similar to what they've done in Denver the past couple of years, and they had one with the Texans at Levi's last year.
Cool. So with it all coming up, much more training camp news and information can be found on 95.7 The Game. We'll be all over it all training camp long. By the way, can I get a Gio Gonzalez update? Former A was working on a no-hitter. He was four outs away. Just give me an out count. Where is he, Albie?
He's three outs away.
Outs away. There you go. So he's through eight with a no-no. Maybe he's got the arrojos. What did he call the eyeballs? He hit a ball with some eyeballs on it, and he's like, arrojos del diablo.
Ojos.
Ojos del Diablo was Orojos or something else. Yeah. Thank you. I just got back from Mexico. I should know better than that. How many innings out of Clay Thompson tonight since he is starting for the A's, JD?
At least three. I think he can get you through the order one time. I think, you know, after that it'll be a little tricky, though. I mean, the Giants lineup, not exactly the most potent.
Were you surprised the Giants stood pat and didn't make a move beyond Nunez?
I was a little surprised, other than the fact that they really didn't have a lot that was desirable. So in that respect, it's not maybe as surprising. Eduardo Nunez was the guy that everybody knew was going to go, and he wound up going a couple of days ago. I'm a little surprised that maybe a George Kontos or somebody of that ilk didn't make a move somewhere, but not a lot of desirable pieces for the Giants. They're going to have to make some changes, and maybe they can do it in the offseason.
Hopefully they can. JD, always good to see you, man. Are you going to be up and down at training camps throughout all of your Raiders, Niners?
Yeah.
We'll be talking to you a lot, I've heard, that you're going to be all over the place, and we're looking forward to you being our eyes and ears on the ground.
Yeah, going to be a lot. I'll be at the Raiders tomorrow and then back here tomorrow night, but then the 49ers closing out the rest of the week. And then we'll split it up as camp goes, but we're going to have a heavy 49ers focus early on with Papa and the guys up at Raiders for the rest of this week.
Nice. Well, thank you so much for stopping on by. John Dickinson joining us here right at the end before we hand you off to Chris Townsend and the little A's dugout show. We want to thank John Morosi. Thanks so much to Bruce Jenkins and everyone who joined us today. It was fantastic. Really appreciate it. Thank you for tuning in. Good to be back from vacation. Good to see you, Gianna.
Welcome
and we'll
back.
Be right back here doing it tomorrow. Albie, Bouton Vixon, Mike Kropitschka, thank you very much. A's Dugout Show comes up next on 95.7 The Game. And remember, sports don't build character. They reveal it.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.